There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday Eve edition of the show. 251-343-0106. It was just a phone number at one time back. Tomorrow will be 17 years ago when we launched the station. But since then, I think it's probably another 5 or 6 years. And then also added a text line. Same number, 251-343-0106 to get through. And also with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave that talkback message through the app. You open the app, you'll see a microphone icon, like a picture of a microphone on the front page. If you press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and I can play it back here on there. So check that out. Also, yeah, but I know we'll probably get text about this. I saw this in the last hour and a half or so, the death and passing of David Alley Coe. We'll talk about that some later on in the show. And as I mentioned at the end of Jeff's show, time to bring down your tracker, your Strait of Hormuz tracker. I mean, you can put it like picture in picture, but make sure to listen to a man who has some first account experience with that region. Combat decorated Marine. He is the Grand Poobah at Meridian U.S. Unfortunately for him, he's one of my friends. Jonathan McConnell joining us. Good to see you.
It is the absolute worst, and that's probably where most of my PTSD comes from.
It's just being friends with you.
Join
the group. There's support groups out there for friends of Sean Sullivan that have to deal with that. So
FSS, it's there. So.
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, my friend. It's busy times. It's interesting.
Yeah, you know, it's there's a thing on my computer back at the back at my desk where I follow river traffic and barge traffic because I'm a nerd here at the port and going out the Gulf and going up the river. It's just something that if I'm going to goof off for a couple minutes, go look at it. To see that tracker for the Strait and realize it's now become something that everybody, like you were used to seeing it on Fox News or whatever where they show this and you're going, how many blips are moving? Oh, those are stop blips. Those are, there's a big change has happened there. And you and I were talking off air that you think there's some success in this. And I mean, I want to hear it from your position, what you do with Meridian U.S., but as a Marine and a man who fought in that theater, that part of the world, this may be the way.
I mean, I think it's an extremely positive thing. I mean, if anybody deserves their teeth getting kicked in, it was the Ayatollah in Iran. I mean, 40 years of supporting terrorism, the biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world was Iran, whether it's through Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthis, which we have been dealing with for the last 3 years, the Houthis down in Yemen. So, I mean, I think it's, you know, it is a positive thing that we have decapitated them for the time being. I think that the plan is in place and it's working quite well. You know, we don't dictate what we're doing as a tactics as a country, and I don't think you should. It's just like saying what date you're going to withdraw.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen if you're expecting that. And honestly, we live in a Democratic Republic, and if you don't like it, wait till the midterms, and you can vote however you want to. I really hope that people take that consideration and say, I think we're better off than we were 2 years ago. So I hope people think about that when they're voting in a few months. But think about it. You got to give it a little bit of time. This is not Venezuela. Venezuela, I cannot believe we pulled that off.
Yeah.
But you know, what we're doing by shutting down the ports and by shutting down the exports out of Iran, they're filling up all of their storage right now. And so once that's full and they've got to cap it, well, like one, we're costing them hundreds of millions a day. And then once they have to cap those oil heads, it's at that point, you're talking about can be sometimes irreversible damage, and it's not that easy to turn it back on. So you're talking about just
it doesn't have a faucet on it, an easy faucet to shut down the flow once you've started it.
Well, I've been watching Landman, so yeah. I'm an expert. I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, I mean, like, you know, it's
funny.
Like,
I got a guy on who comes on the show with me, Jay Young, my buddy out of Dallas. He's an oil guy from out there, and he'll often reference. He said, a lot of stuff on Landman is good, he said, but some of the stuff where, like, they go out and drill a well, and 2 days later it's producing, he said, that's not real stuff.
That's right. That's right. A great show, by the way.
It is a good show.
But no, it's, I mean, I think that we have some really smart people running this country, you know, or working in this administration, and just in people who are not afraid to make a decision. Like, I mean, how incredible is that right now, that we have people that are taking our enemies and taking the fight to our enemies? We're being innovative with what we're doing.
That's the part I like, Jonathan. You know me, this is the, you know, across the table, got a warrior. You got to, I get non-interventionist, sometimes isolationist thrown at me. But my idea is to risk the fewest number of y'all. Sure. We have to. And this idea that here's how we went. This is, this put a smile on my face. That let the oil be the reason they capitulate versus kinetic force.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they will capitulate over the oil. And so in the funny thing is Europe's about to run out. So they're incentivized on getting a peace deal and to getting it done and getting a single regime change. Asia is running out and running very low. And so if we can put up with, you know, I do not want us to put up with higher oil prices, but we are the least affected country right now. It's incredible.
Yeah, well, I've got a stat here. We're exporting now, U.S. exports up to 6.4 million barrels a day.
I think I've heard it's doubled that.
I mean, okay, well, this is one of the stats.
Yeah, I mean, so if you look at the...
Of course, people are going to complain, you know, we need it here. Why are we sending it out? Well, y'all, we're in a global market. Please don't tell me you want the government to tell business how to do business.
That's
I know some people say, we ought to keep all that oil here. Yes, but companies have the freedom and liberty to sell it to the highest bidder.
Sell it wherever they want to. And I mean, the government telling business how to do business works great in New York, especially with Mondami's doing a great job up there. Sarcasm.
The sarcasm emoji in. Yeah.
That's right. I've got to do that. It's since radio, you know. But I mean, I think that, you know, what they're doing there is great. And you look at, like, you compound that with what else is going on in the world. I mean, like, by stopping some of the ghost fleet, which is there's 1,400 ghost fleet vessels.
That gets thrown out. They talk about ghost fleets, and here's, you know, they turn off trackers and flags. You're a man who does. So tell me, give me the 2 minute ghost fleet. Describe ghost fleet ship and how, you know, they leave from one place. What do they do?
1,400 illegally operating vessels around the world.
Privately owned, company owned. Okay, privately owned.
Privately owned, but sometimes chartered. You know, from the IRGC, Russian, North Korean, Venezuelan, formerly Venezuelan.
So they got these tankers, right?
Average age of the tanker is 20.7 years old of the ghost fleet. So it's not operating with proper insurance. It's basically an environmental disaster that's waiting to happen. There are 133 of those 1,400 are VLCCs or ULCCs. So basically, can carry millions of gallons of oil.
Okay.
Millions of barrels of oil. You also have like the Panamax, Suezmax, vessels that are a little bit smaller. And so Handymax being obviously the smallest there. And there are, what they do is they go and pull in and grab illegal oil, whether it's from Iran, formerly from Venezuela, but we shut that off. And they deliver it to, what they do is they usually move that oil to a place where they can do an illegal ship-to-ship transfer.
See that? Okay, explain this. I heard this before, and Russia had been involved in some of these too. So is it like a picture, one tanker pulls up next to the other and they put the big hose in?
Yep. Can do about, 25 metric tons an hour, I think, is what they can do.
So they find a ship that's okay to go into whatever port, they transfer it into that ship.
Well, it's okay. It's all embargoed oil anyway, right? So they know they're embargoed.
Why are they doing the transfer then?
They're clean. It's like laundering.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah. So the tanker that then goes into, so Ghost Fleet pumps into another tanker. That tanker is not on the Ghost Fleet radar.
That's right. It's not on an OFAC sanctioned list, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And so then it moves to a place where it'll be accepted, which usually is our friends. What are those guys over in Asia? Oh, China. Yeah. So China usually takes it. Usually, I think they take, if I'm not mistaken, it's almost 80 ships a day.
And so the Chinese can say, when they do this, well, it's a regular freighter. Right. It's fine.
That's right.
It's a documented, you know.
Yep. So okay. It's pretty fascinating. So big big STS locations, generally the Middle East is huge, right there around Corficon, Iran, but then they also do it. EOPL Malaysia, right off Singapore, is the biggest location. Generally, like biggest concentration of it is right there. That's where a lot of the ghost fleet turns off their trackers and then or turns off their AIS, and then there's drones that are sitting there watching them all the time, but no one's enforcing because Malaysia doesn't allow enforcement. But if you, it's interesting reading tanker trackers.
In Malaysian waters, international force can't do enforcement on.
Yeah, it's okay. We don't do any enforcement really. I mean, it's so funny what you can do on the high seas, and then everyone's afraid.
That's why y'all are in business, by the way.
I love it. I love it. And thanks be to God. And so there's, there is a gap there in regulations that no one will stop we know the 1,400 illegally operating vessels, sanctioned vessels, and hardly anyone's ever stopping them. And so this administration has done that now. They've started seizing vessels that are moving illegal oil. They stopped the ones that are coming out of Venezuela. They've stopped some coming out of Iran, and it's great. So we have an administration that has the guts to act, and how refreshing is that after the previous 4 years?
No, it is, and I like the fact that, for me, it's, pun intended, steering this way away from some kind of land force or continued kinetic.
That's right.
If what you were talking about earlier, y'all, it's not just that they can't store anymore. Right? I don't know if they have salt domes, but they have facilities where they're storing their oil to one day be able to sell. But they've got to stop the oil well.
That's right.
And when they do that, that's a significant decision.
That is.
And so that may be what they, when they come next time to Islamabad to negotiate, they may be in a little better mood to negotiate.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I think that is, when we reach that point in the next, whether that's the next couple of weeks, I think we're well within 3 weeks. I think that's going to be the point where it's like, and then every day at that point, it's just costing more and more.
Yeah. This is fascinating. Coming right back, more with Jonathan McConnell, and get your questions in at 251-343-0106.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:21, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. And just insight into what's happening half a world away, that a man that spent a lot of his life half a world away, Jonathan McConnell from Meridian, U.S. The idea here is this is the pressure point. It's not, because I got to tell you, from my watching this, I mean, we're told, I have my issues with believing they were just about to have a nuclear weapon, because I've been hearing it. I'm older than you, and I've been hearing it bulk of my life.
That's right.
And so I get cynical. And I remember, back in the Stuxnet virus days and all the things we did, the idea that we took out their nuclear program and then we're back there. I'm like, wait a second. So it really isn't about the nuclear program. What's it about? And then going, is this worth putting our warriors in theater? And I was a hard no on that, and I've been really worried about that. I've been really worried about find this other route. This is like manna from heaven. You're telling me. I love this idea. Squeeze them economically. Everything cool.
Well, I mean, their economy is so much based on oil. And,
yeah.
And if we can, I mean, they're bleeding cash right now.
And they don't have their own refineries to a high degree, because what the irony is they don't have gasoline in Iran.
Yeah,
it's like,
I mean, and their immediate response was just attacking all of their neighbors, which
yes.
was incredible. And
did that speed up? Did that like hit fast forward on realpolitik? Because how long would it have taken if that didn't happen to get these Gulf states organized to say, I mean, because they didn't like them anyway, but to be public about not liking them.
Oh, that's right. Because we're always still the great evil, right? We're the great Satan, we're the infidels. And so, I mean, it really just did unite everyone behind us. There's so many different things that are happening. And my bingo card is just kind of gone sideways with the UAE pulling out of OPEC.
Wow. Hearing that yesterday. So what's your take on that? I mean, is that Jenga? We pulled out one too many things. Does OPEC fall down, or how valuable is the UAE?
No, I mean, UAE is very valuable. I mean, right now
to OPEC,
what is is that I think their pipeline that runs from west to east that can cut off the Straits of Hormuz only produce like 1.2 million barrels a day that they can export that way. And then you look at what the Yanbu pipeline, which is in Saudi, can do, what, 4 to 5 million barrels a day. So, and like, they still have the ability of pushing it out there, but it's not, I mean, but how did they not predict this? I mean, like the why did the Middle East, why did Saudi, why did everyone else not go ahead and build a pipeline anyway to negate having to go through Dammam and having to go through Shuaiba and having to go through the ports inside of the Arabian Sea, Persian Gulf?
Right.
Why didn't they do that beforehand?
Yeah, and well, that's a solid question. I mean, all those, I think we talked a few weeks ago, somebody brought up, did you see where they could cut a new, you know, canal through there? I'm like, yeah, it's like a gazillion billion dollars, and it's going to take all this time. We are, you know, use the pipelines we have to avoid some of that. But I started thinking about, as you delineate this, with the idea of BRICS, the BRICS countries, and I've talked about in the past, you go down the list, with the exception of Brazil, although we'll probably have a mission against Brazil soon, but BRICS, you know, the acronym Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, I think it's a, or something. Or the, so you take those for these, this idea of us coming off the petrodollar, right? Mm. Okay. Other than Brazil, Russia, India, China are three big. We take out India, I mean, take out Iran that's feeding gas to, and then Russia embroidered that can't feed gas to that. I mean, it's, well, it's significant.
It's massive. So it's India, BRIC. India, yeah, it's, yeah, not Iran. But
yeah,
but you look at what we've almost done is that we've taken Venezuela. We've taken
the people that would feed to China.
That's right.
The people, Russia.
And energy
out.
Is what all this, yeah, the AI revolution revolution is about. Is about energy, right? And the price of energy, because it's going to cost so much. That's why we've got to build these data centers. Whatever, you know, mm-hmm. and with the energy that's associated with it. And the Trump administration has been very smart about that by saying, if you're going to build a data center, then you're going to be responsible for your own energy for it, and allowing them to produce their own energy, which is pretty smart. Which is why we need to probably kick up the whole nuclear cycle really quickly and the SMRs.
You just beat me. You just beat me to it, because I'm a fan like you. I don't know if we ever. I'm a fan of nuclear power too.
If I like nerd out, it's like get on Perplexity and be like, talk to me about nuclear fission versus nuclear fusion. Tell me that SMRs are out there. And like, it's absolutely incredible. But think about it. We've taken Venezuela out. So not taken them out, but we have stopped their oil from going to China, mm-hmm. Increased the Monroe Doctrine there. Iran.
Not going to China.
What if we talk about Russia and we take out Russia, like, and we get a peace deal with Russia and bring them into the fold? And now China's having to pay real prices,
yeah,
not artificially deflated prices because it's illegal oil, and they're having to pay normal prices. Oh man, that's not checkmate, but man, we're now,
oh, it's hamstringing them,
slowing down their ability to produce energy at, you know, like at such, or produce AI and stay ahead of us, or catch up with us on the AI.
Short term, brother, I was going to tell you this, because with Christmas coming up and your son and all that, they shut down two toy factories because they can't get plastics in China. Two like massive. Like those industrial cities in China, like they do one thing.
The ones that they've built and then torn down again because they artificially inflate their real estate industry. I mean, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with China. I mean, like
if they can't get, not just for their vehicles, if they can't get plastics, what do we call the stuff? I said it the other day, cheap plastic crap.
That's
from
right.
China, right?
That's right.
Well, Chinese
Mardi Gras is going to go away then, I guess.
Right.
So that's,
well, I mean, that's, yeah. Well, you know what?
Yeah, we could probably just send some Russians and they'll take all the stuff out of their face and they're sorry, never mind.
No, but it's interesting because it's not just, I mean, the fuel that runs their economy, but it physically, they need the plastics to make the stuff that, so much of what they export is plastic stuff.
That's right. Yeah. And so, I mean, but I think that in the end, all of this is playing really good baseball in America's favor. And I think, I'm encouraged. I love the fact that we're being decisive. I love the fact that we are making decisions and that we have a national defense strategy that we seem to be executing like to a T. I think we're avoiding kinetic warfare.
Keeping the cranks like me happy.
That's right. Yeah. Keeping boots off the ground.
That makes me happy.
And that makes me happy. And so if there are opportunities where we can pull some levers, I think it's wonderful. And I'm very happy with the people that are making decisions. One, because they're making decisions. Indecisiveness is almost always the wrong answer, but they're making decisions, and it's all in the spirit of what is best for this country and what is best for your kids, my kids. Mm-hmm. I'm happy.
Okay. You thought about 3 weeks to get the negotiations. That's kind of what you're feeling from a man who spent time there. how long until the strait is, how long until traffic is coming through there?
There's traffic going through it right now. I mean, we had four cruise ships go through last week, right? They just had their AIS off. I mean, if you're sitting there watching that tracker, you're not getting anywhere. There's movement up and down the strait.
You mean the little thing everybody's watching on Fox News is not showing them everything,
hey,
Jonathan?
The media is 100% accurate, okay? Especially the talk show radio.
Yeah, that's right.
Believe everything you hear. Hey, I don't know if y'all know this. If y'all have never seen Sean, he's actually like 6'8", blonde hair, blue eyes, like Viking material.
I am blonde hair, blue eyes, but yeah.
Just be thankful you got here, bro. So yeah. Mine's fading. But yeah, no.
It's okay, Kojak.
But no, I mean, I think that... it's positive. It's all positive. I think that insurance is what's going to drive traffic through the streets. Mm-hmm. You know, even if they have if they said, hey, we're going to cease fire, full surrender tomorrow, the first five ships are the ones who are, you know, paying the price on that one of like, hey, we're testing it out. And insurance is going to drive it.
There we go. Jonathan McConnell, thank you, man. Do it again very, very soon. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile, 251-343-0106.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. We'll grab some text from the text line at 251-343-0106. This one first up from Michael said, can you please send a big thank you to the ASAP guys? That's the acronym, right? The ASAP guys. You'll see them along the roadways. He said, one of them likely saved mine and my son's lives last night when he was broken down on I-10 last night in the rain. The ASAP guy parked behind my truck and was flashing traffic when the drunk blank plowed into the back of his truck at least 50 miles an hour. Holy cow. Michael, shout out to the ASAP guys. I know we have one of those people that text us quite regularly, one of the reasons we get such great traffic information around here. I hope it was not them. I want to know what's... Can you give us an update on the ASAP person? Were they in the vehicle or what? That is scary. It's scary. So that vehicle, you said, plowed in the back of the ASAP vehicle at 50 miles an hour. Wow. Probably got to hug the ASAP guy and your son, right? Son first and then the ASAP guy, for sure. Texter about Bates Lake said the river's rising next week. Get a tug to come to Bates Lake, make a U-turn, it'll fix the silt issue. Yeah, a little bit of rise. I checked, the rain-wise, I checked out by my house. Escatapa is coming up a couple feet, it was like October low, it's coming up. The creeks on the farm were, they're up a little bit, but it mostly ground out where I am. West Mobile soaked up all this rain. It was a good thing. We definitely could use the rain. And soaked it up, and I hadn't even checked the river stages for the big rivers yet. But we will. We'll probably talk about it on this weekend's FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. All right, Mike said the problems with the we are not selling crude, we are selling our refined diesel and gasoline. Look at the amount we are down in refined fuel and diesel. We are down, as of the other day, between diesel and gas around 10%. That's why gas and diesel stays high at our pump. Yeah, Mike, and on the diesel side, I'm not trying to be an expert here. I'm just quoting Jay Young, who comes on with me, who is. He says the diesel price issue is because most of that is not refined here in the States. It's refined elsewhere and brought back in. That's what he was saying is why. Because I was trying to figure out, like so many people, diesel jumped up so far, so fast, even more than gasoline, right? As he said it was about refining. So we're down in refined fuel. Well, that's the other thing, too. Mike, if you go back to, and you, by the way, nice plug here for our searchable archives, you know, the podcast of this show and all the other shows that run on FM Talk 106.5. You go to our website, go to our app, anywhere that you subscribe for podcasts, just make sure you're subscribed for FM Talk 106.5. But go back, and I think it's the last conversation I had with Jay, and we started talking about the refining. You know, we do not have the refining capacity we need to here. And here's the deal. It seems like over time that when we can make any plans to expand refining capacity, OPEC lowers prices quickly enough that it makes it not worth doing the refining capacity, and so we don't do it. So it's like every time we think we're going to expand refining capacity, something stops it. So maybe it has to be like a Manhattan Project where we have to something we're going to have to do to whether the prices come down or not. I do agree with what Jay said, and kind of sounds like you're saying, Mike, you can produce, but you got to be able to refine too if you want to keep it inside the country. Let's see. Rock and Roll Doctor said, is this war with Iran just as much a fiat currency battle as much as it is for oil and nuclear weapons? Bring up something very interesting, Rock and Roll Doctor, and that's one of the questions about, right? BRICS nations, the idea that, you know, oil is traded in the dollar, right? The petrodollar. And although there have been, I think, I don't think I'm overstating. So I think there have been two trades that have been done in Chinese yuan as of recently. But everywhere else, those of y'all don't follow this, every other oil deal is done in dollars. It's the U.S. petrodollar. BRICS nations want to break free of that. I get it. I do get where I can put myself in other people's shoes, even though some of those shoes are occupied by bad guys. If one country dominated things forever, you're going to try to buck the system. You're trying to put your country in that position. And so it may be, you know, a question of dollars versus yuan. There are probably multiple things, Rock and Roll Doctor, that are going into this. Let's see. B-Dark. Sean, no, sir. It's not about nukes. It's about citizen control and digital currency. Okay? The digital currency thing is interesting, and I still have yet to see this pay out. I've told this story once before. So I have a brother-in-law who brilliant is an understatement, and I married my youngest sister, and she's brilliant too. The two of them and their kids are damn smarty pants. It's ridiculous, but and he does. Like I said, he trades at a level I don't understand. When I get to their house, I'm like, hey, what do you think about such and such stock? He says, I don't know. I only look at he watches the behavior of stocks and some mathematical principles that show when they break out. I mean, I'm lost. I'm like, oh, what do they make? He said, I don't know. But he turned me onto this. His idea, big Bessent fan. And he said that somehow Bessent was going to move U.S. debt into crypto somehow to bring down the deficit implications. And it's beyond me. I'm going to have to, maybe we'll call him up one day and get him to come on the show and talk about this. But crypto, not just like, hey, I've got I've got Bitcoin, I got Dogecoin, you know, or whatever stupid meme coin comes out, I don't get. But, or is it this idea of us taking our currency here in the States and making it digital and somehow that gives us an advantage in paying off our debt? Something. Let's see. CB Carl said, Sean, having interviews like that gives all of us the kind of information that can make even people like me look smart. That's why you and your team have been at it so long. Keep up the good work and happy birthday. Well, thank you. Yeah, tomorrow 17 for FM Talk 106.5. Let's see. Oh, thank you. Michael said they both definitely got big hugs. He was out of the truck, thankfully. So good. The ASAP person is safe. Wow, that's scary. That's scary. It's... You know, it's scary if anything happened on the roadway. When it happens and your kids are there, we're coming down 65 one time, coming back from the Smokies. Gosh, it's been 10 plus years ago. And a vehicle going northbound on 65. We're probably north of Atmore. And vehicle comes off the road, hits the wide ditch there, right? Separate lanes, wide ditch, goes upside down. Now, this is all coming. I'm seeing this and I'm applying brakes. Goes upside down in front of us and lands to my right, right? So lands on the west side of 65 and going southbound. Missed us by 10 feet or something like that, and I had both my kids in the vehicle, whole family there. It was, you get scared for yourself, but yeah. Michael, I know what you're talking about. You got your kids there, and it's a next level. All right, Bill says, for plastics, there are huge amounts of plastics that are not recycled. There are huge amounts of plastics in the oceans. We can do a lot better. Oh, you got that right. Got that right. But the Chinese, look, I did on the show the other day. Maybe I posted this up on Twitter. They're shutting down the toy factories in China because they can't get enough oil in to make plastics out of it to make whatever toys your kids are going to leave on the floor for you to step on. 12:43, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It's 12:48, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Jeff Stone of Stone Arms. And not only the place, if you've been thinking about for years, like I was a couple years ago, been working on like, I'm going to get a suppressor, going to get a silencer can, whatever you want to call it. And just doing all the stuff just took too much time. I went into Jeff's shop. He's got a computer in there that does everything. Make sure you put the information in the right way. Does the fingerprints, does the picture, sends everything off to the ATF. And like I said, he's getting responses back. I thought I was big stuff back then because I got my response back, my green light from the feds. I got it back in 2 weeks. He's getting it done in 48 hours for people these days. So been thinking about that. Go ahead and get that done. Plus, lucky for all of us, a great selection of suppressors in stock. Used guns, new guns, handguns, shotguns, rifles, plus a fantastic gunsmith all in one place at Stone Arms. And while you're there, he continues it. So, earlier in the year, Stone Arms did a raffle. Make sure I say things the right way. State of Alabama law. Did a chance to win. And that all the 100% of the proceeds from that benefited Lieutenant Matthews at Mobile Police Department in his recovery. Well, now they're doing it again at Stone Arms. Jeff put this up. He said, stop into Stone Arms, Inc. anytime during normal business hours, and it's your chance to win a $1,500 gift certificate to Stone Arms. The tickets are $20 each, cash only, for a chance to be drawn. You can purchase as many tickets as you want. Each ticket gives you one chance to win. They're going to do a drawing on their Facebook page, which is Stone Arms, Inc. on Facebook. They're going to do a drawing on their Facebook page July 6th. You don't have to be present to win. But all these proceeds, just like Lieutenant Matthews benefited last time, this time it's Joshua Gifford, who was badly burned in an accident while burning yard debris earlier this month. He experienced extensive burns on his face, both arms, both legs, currently at USA Medical Burn Center in their ICU. And, of course, he has a long recovery here. And you can help and get that chance to be drawn for the $1,500 gift certificate from Stone Arms. So good on you. Great gun shop. Great place to get your green light to get a suppressor, and also just a great contributor to our community. Stone Arms, they are just west of Snow, about a quarter mile west of Snow on Airport Boulevard. Online, Stone Arms, Inc., INC, StoneArmsInc.com, or you find them on Facebook. Right, let me grab, let's see. The plastics thing, by the way, Bill, I don't know what, it's interesting why that hasn't been used in the recycle. You know, there are certain things. And maybe something has changed technology-wise, but the only thing I think has the real value recycling is metal, right? Penn and Teller, right, used to do a show called Bull S, which I love that show. They would take, use critical thinking to break down preconceived notions. And they did the recycling thing back then. Now, it may have changed since then, but the energy output to recycle things was more than the benefit of the recycling, other than metals, and aluminum being the easiest for them, or maybe copper, but aluminum was on the list. But they talked about plastics, and there wasn't, like, you had to use more energy to recycle the plastics, and so you had to use more oil to recycle the plastics than you got in gain from recycling. Because if somebody could fix that problem, Bill, they could take talking about barges and stuff, barges of Dollar General bags and take those to China to be able to make toys out of. But I don't think it's sufficient. But yeah, there's several stories out there. New York Times had it. I think Jerusalem Post, a couple places. I have to go back and look at my notes from earlier this week. But toy manufacturers are closing in China because they can't get the plastic to make the toys they need. And so I wonder if that causes some kind of supply chain issue for us come Christmas time this year, whatever the plastic piece of crap that the kids want this year, will they not be making as many of those? Now, obviously, that's going to ripple through their economy. We're focused on the toy factories, but there's all kind of plastic stuff coming out of China. So not just the energy that fuels their, you know, their vehicles. Although I saw a story too, gasoline-powered vehicles in China, rising economy. So you've got car buying not just in replacement, you have first-time car buyers in China, right? So you have this different, it'd been United States in the 50s kind of, right? Not just the replacement vehicles, but people finally, they've got the money, they're going to get a car. They're down 26%. And I think it was a Forbes article or something I was reading said, and that's because of the scarcity of gasoline, that their car sales are down there as well. So obviously that's going to affect their economy in a big way. But yeah, these jobs, so many, think about things you buy or used to buy from China. They're an American company, but manufactured in China. Think about how many of them are plastic. A bunch. On the flip side, there's something that China's got a lot of that's affected, and people who shoot, really people in the turkey hunting world will understand this. Tungsten Super Shot, TSS it's called. Those shells were already expensive. If you can find them now, they're at multiples of four or five times as much as they were before. China has the world's biggest deposits of tungsten. We're not doing a lot of business with China. And the tungsten we get in the United States, if they have the Pentagon has to get all they need before somebody manufacturing shot shells does. And they use like tungsten being so much denser, even than lead, right? That's why we use it. They use that in a lot of armor-piercing rounds that the U.S. military uses. So what tungsten we get in now, the Pentagon's got to get all they need before anything goes out to the civilian world. So they got a little squeeze on us, but not as big as the fact that they can't get the raw material to make plastic stuff. See, B-Dark. Let's talk about this in a few years when you ain't got a dollar in your pocket but a chip in your wallet. Sounds like the making of a song right there. I like that. Ain't got a dollar in your pocket but a chip in your wallet. Let's work that up. Hey, listen, Dalton produced a show, a song yesterday, a blues song about phantom noises in people's heads from pickleball courts. So, I mean, we can probably get that one done as well. Fire Dog says maybe we need to decouple from China. Yeah, well, that's it's been discussed before, but it's like we're junkies for it, right? Greg said, Sean, have you heard any updates about Cedar Point Pier's missing person? Which I don't. I mean, we have a news report running from WKRG, and I saw the story there, but I haven't heard an update since then. Greg says, also, do you know how deep it is around Cedar Point Pier in that area by Cedar Point Marsh? I've been in the marsh. It's pretty shallow, but I don't know out in front of the pier. I don't know how deep it is in front of the pier. I'm going to guess, Greg, it's probably, if people are catching fish there, it's got to be deeper than four, you know, with the regularity, 4 or 5 feet maybe there. But yeah, the marsh is shallow around there. I don't know. I don't know any updates on that, but we'll try here during the top of the hour news maybe to see if there's anything updated or if anybody in the sheriff's department or any of the people searching or listening, they can give us an update. We'd appreciate that and pass along here on the show. And also, I mentioned this as we got started with the show, news out today, the passing of David Allen Coe. Yeah, it happened today. Well, I guess it happened yesterday, and we found out about today. At least most of us did. He was, this story from People Magazine, I thought this was interesting. He was the father of, it says, at least five children. Didn't say five, of at least five children. He was married six times. I mean, you talk about living outlaw country. I mean, you know, his time in prison, his time in reform schools and all that. Yeah, he was not. This is the difference between, like, the music business of today, even country music, where they take these artists and try to produce an aura around them that may not be deserved. David Allan Coe sang about what he had lived, for sure. He was like a teenager already in prison or reform school. But yeah, he's died at 86 years old yesterday. But I thought that was interesting. It said he was married six times and father to at least, not definitive, but at least five children. 86 years old, David Allan Coe, dead. Coming right back, hour number two of Midday Mobile.
Factory.